Hello, friends. Welcome to Through the Word. My name is Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Psalms 28 on our journey through the Word. When the Beatles sang their hit single, Help, they cried out, Help, I need somebody, not just anybody. And David needs help, and not just from anyone. He needs help from someone he can count on. He's desperate for dependability. That's why he calls God his rock in verse 1. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Think of what it means to call God a rock. A rock is constant. It's always there. It never changes. It's dependable. You can count on it. And that's good to know, because it is so hard to find stability in an unstable world like we live in. Times may have changed, but life hasn't. At least, not that much. In Psalm 28, we find David calling on God because he's the only one David knows he can depend on. And he's still not completely sure he can depend on God. Even in calling God his rock, David, like us, still needs reassurance that God is, in fact, listening, that God will listen. The second part of verse 1 continues, Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Deaf ear. Does God have a good ear and a bad ear? David uses a figure of speech here because if you've ever spoken to someone who loves you like your grandpa, and you speak into their deaf ear, they might turn and say, Sorry, I didn't hear you. That's my bad ear. Talk to my good ear. David needs to make sure in his desperation that his message is getting through. He's sending up prayers, but he doesn't know if God is answering back, returning his call, or just staying silent on the line. David knows he's in real trouble. He just doesn't know if God knows he's in real trouble, or if God even cares. David says, If you don't answer me now, I'll be like those who go down to the pit. The word pit here is Sheol, which was the Hebrew word for grave. Hear his desperation here. David saying, Answer me, or I'll die. Help! David was no drama queen. He had faced death many times, but he was desperate. And when you're desperate, you feel alone. Verse 2. Hear my cry for mercy, as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. Hear my cry for mercy. David isn't just praying here. He's crying out with all of his being, making desperate pleas. Help me! Hear my cry for mercy, as I call you for help. Oh, and David knows he needs mercy. We all need mercy. We just don't always know how much we need it. But desperate situations often reveal just how desperate we are. David lifts his hands here in worship. In our culture, lifting your hands means surrender. For example, stick them up. Put your hands in the air where I can see them. And in worship, it implies the same. Raising your hands means surrender. And if you think about it at all, worshiping itself is a type of surrender. You worship because you know you need to, that you're not enough. You're not all there is. There's someone bigger than you that you can depend on, that you must depend on, that you need help. But the raising of our hands is also something we do as children when we want to be picked up. And David wants God to pick him up because he doesn't want to be swept or dragged away with the rest of humanity who doesn't trust God. Verse 3. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. David has not been acting like the people around him. He's being honest. He's being loving. And in some ways, he's wondering to himself, God, does it even matter? Do you even notice how I live? Are you deaf to my cries and blind to my behavior? Does it even make a difference how I live? Or will I just be swept away with all of humanity? First, David wonders if God hears. Now, He wonders if God sees. But here's what's interesting. David doesn't just wonder if God sees the good of the faithful. He's also wondering if God even sees the wickedness of the unfaithful. So he prays in verse 4, "Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back on them what they deserve, because they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord and what his hands have done. He will tear it down and never build them up again." Fake people. People who pretend to be your friend, but deep down hate you, wrong you, betray you. David's words, "they speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts," seem to describe a lot of people, to be honest. David asks God to repay their deeds and repay them for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done. Their evil works done to David are a big problem. But David wants to see God work, and he wants to see it now. We don't know what they did to David, but he's hurt. These are the words of someone in pain, and hurt people hurt people. But David isn't seeking to hurt them. He's asking God to repay. He's praying for justice, and that's actually biblical. The Bible tells us, "Repay no one evil for evil, but leave room for God's wrath. The Lord will repay." And that's good news. God says whoever hurts us touches the apple of his eye. And David says these people have no regard for the deeds of the Lord. They don't seem to be those that have surrendered their lives to God. But David has. He can rest easy that God has this, even if David doesn't. And in the midst of his desperation, David turns to worship in verse 6. "Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy." Did you catch the shift here? The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. Suddenly, David knows that God has heard, that God's listening. But what gave him that confidence? We don't see a change in his circumstances. Maybe this was a statement of faith that came from his worship. David has no proof that God is listening, but he knows God. He knows his character and that God would listen. After all, any God worthy of your worship would surely listen to it, right? David turns his eyes to God's character and he sings the things he knows to be true of God. "The Lord is my strength," verse 7, "and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song, I praise him." And David paints God with two more pictures of stability, strength and shield. God is my strength. You know, nothing saps our juice like people problems. David was drained, but now he's energized. God has been his strength and his protection. It's not that he doesn't have enemies anymore, but God is his shield, like an invisible force field. You'll experience this as a believer sometimes. People saying and doing horrible things against you. Yet somehow, you feel removed from the situation, as if you're outside of it, as if nothing can touch you. That's what David is feeling, and it's not just for David alone. It's for all of us, according to verse 8. "The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one." God is a fortress. You are untouchable in him. A fortress of salvation for his anointed one. An anointed one here could mean three different things. You see, oil was used to anoint someone for refreshment. And you would anoint people when they came to visit you to refresh their dust-caked pores and soothe their skin. But in the Bible, there was a special anointing oil for priests and kings that symbolized the Holy Spirit all over a person's life. And of course, the third meaning, the anointed one, was a term from the Messiah. Well, you're not the Messiah, and you're not the king like David was, but God is still all over your life. He is with you, and he hasn't just put his spirit on you. He's in you. You're pretty special to him, by my estimation. That's why the first part says, God is the strength of his people. That's you. You are his people. Verse 9, save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. David closes here with a beautiful picture of a shepherd carrying us on his shoulders. As a shepherd himself, once upon a time, David feels like that little lamb that needs the extra care, attention, and affection, the one that can't make it on his own. And so the shepherd picks the little lamb up, puts him on his neck, two legs straddling each shoulder, and carries him, just like he's carrying you. He wants to be closer to you than you could ever imagine, because sometimes when you're hanging on the line, wondering if you're going to get an answer, the line isn't dead. It's that God is right next to you. He's already moved you close in those times. He's put you on his shoulders, and you just didn't realize it. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Don't miss it. God calls you his inheritance here. We are what he gets out of this deal. It's all he wants. It's all he's ever wanted. You. He wants you. And he wants me. My friend, Psalm 28 tells us that we can depend on God when we don't feel like it. When we doubt if he's there or even listening, we only have to remind ourselves of who he is. And once we're reminded of who he is, we can rest in what he does. He listens, he protects, he blesses, he carries, and he helps.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.